personal desde la Santa Madre.
¡Arriba!
¡Arriba!
We also have with us a great Catholic Prabhu, Savant Bhagavad. He mentioned Prabhupada in 1974, and that word Prabhu writes many articles in Bhakti Vada magazine. He is a very excellent English editor. And he also travels on pilgrimage. He is now in India for 3 months, and he is passing to Pune. He is prepared for his earthly body. He would like to welcome the great Catholic Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. How are you all doing? I am Satyavit Prabhu. I am happy to see you after a long time. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Praise the Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashri Govardhana Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govardhana Shantunga Radha Prabhu Govardhana Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Madhura Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Bhagat Ki Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Ramana Mai हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय श्री तो Hare Krishna. शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी अष्टाध्यायी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे शील प्रभुपाद की जय I'm very happy to be here with you all I'm also very happy to see that we all are embracing Krishna consciousness. The simple words, simple expression of Krishna consciousness is actually Krishna bhakti, devotion to the Supreme Person of the Godhead. And this process is very special for us because this Krishna Bhakti in this age has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Sankirtan Yakti. The word Sankirtan has two connotations. One is Bahubhirvikvagakirtan. When many people get together and sing the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is called Sankirtan. Another meaning of Sankirtan is when everything is used in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is called Sankirtan. And the second one is a broader understanding of use everything in glorifying the Supreme Personality. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Creator, the Supreme Maintainer. He is the dearmost friend of everyone. He is the well-wishing father of every living entity. Therefore, recognizing his position
and understanding our relationship with Him. When we sing His glory, that creates a very wonderful spiritual atmosphere. Awareness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the basic means of spiritualizing everything. What's the difference between material and spiritual? How many of you know the difference between material and spiritual? Okay. So, material is, material nature or material realm is where we put ourselves in the center. When we put ourselves in the center, that becomes material. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becomes the center, that is spiritual. That is the distance between material and spiritual. Take a short distance, very little distance between the material nature and spiritual nature. All we have to do is, instead of ourselves, we have to put Krishna at the center. It will automatically become spiritual. And that is the objective of all spiritual activities, to put Krishna in the center. And the best way to do it is by reminding everybody about Krishna's glory, who Krishna is. So in whichever way we make people aware of Krishna's absolute position, that becomes sankirtan. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish the sankirtan movement in this age of Kali. This direct glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was not available in other ages. It is a special prerogative of the age of Kali. In other ages, after arduous endeavor, they used to recognize the Supreme Personality of God. And then used to be the consideration of glorifying Him or developing a loving relationship with Him. For example, through the meditation, the process of meditation, it's a very arduous process. To achieve perfection, it used to take the practitioner thousands of years, and then if he was fortunate, he would be able to see the Lord in the heart. That was the ultimate perfection of the yoga practice, Ashtanga Yoga, Samadhi. Samadhi is the stage when one could see the Lord in the heart. And when one would see the Lord in the heart, then only he would recognize His absolute position and recognize His insignificant situation, and he would surrender unto the Lord. And this surrender would actually lead into the platform of devotion. This surrender or sharanagati is the beginning of devotion. It was such a difficult process. And after that, one used to surrender unto the Lord, and he could begin the spiritual, or he could begin his bhakti, devotion of God. Similarly, in Sreta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, the processes that were there, was through this process they would come to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then surrender unto Him and render devotional service. Whereas in this age, the process has directly been given to us. That is the special mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been considered to be the most munificent. The Lord is munificent. The Lord is extremely benevolent, extremely generous, extremely magnanimous. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous of all the appearances of the Lord. Never ever the Supreme Personality of Godhead displayed this kind of mercy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and distributed this Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Rupa Goswami considered him to be Mahavadanya. Namo Mahavadanayan, Krishna Prema Pradayati. He is distributing this Krishna Prema, which is so rare. Therefore, this must be Krishna himself. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is an institution that has been established to fulfill Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unique prediction. Mahaprabhu distributed this Krishna Prem, and that's why he has been considered to be the most munificent, most magnanimous. But Mahaprabhu predicted that this movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. What he came to give, it will be distributed all over the world in every town and village. And fulfilling that prediction, Sri Chaitanya Prabhupada has practically demonstrated that all over the world. He established Krishna consciousness. In this way we can see how special Śrīla Prabhupāda is. What Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu himself didn't do, but spoke about, predicted that it would happen. And in order to fulfill that prediction, he sent a personality. From that we can imagine how dear Śrīla Prabhupāda must be of Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu. What Mahaprabhu himself didn't do, he reserved it for someone. And that someone is Śrīla Prabhupāda. So today we are going to speak on Śrīla Prabhupāda's position in ISKCON as the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees. For all of us. Ravi Shankar Prabhu sent me a few topics to discuss. He suggested a few topics. Out of those few, I selected this one because I thought that it would be a very relevant topic to discuss with you all. You are young, educated devotees, and in that way you are the future of this movement. Your involvement is going to make this movement move forward. It is a young, enthusiastic, dynamic individuals that make things happen. All the great things in the world have been achieved by the youth, not by old politicians. It is all the great things in the world have is done by the youth. Yes. Elderly people give guidance. They give advice. They give the vision. And they facilitate all this. But it's the youth who go out and make them. That's why it's always been considered that the youth are actually the future. It is on the foundation of the achievements of the youth that things keep happening. Our movement also is called movement. It spread all over the world by the support of the youth of America. Srila Prabhupada went to America, single, individual, 70 years old, didn't have any resources, didn't have any money, didn't even know where he was going to stay. In this total uncertainty, Srila Prabhupada went to America. But gradually, the youth of America started to get involved. And one of them is here with us, Dr. Vin Prabhu. At what age did you join? At the age of 24. How many of you are here 24 years old? 24 and below.
Just less than 24.
Okay. Very good. So, it is the youth that came to support Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had a great vision. Srila Prabhupada had the know-how. Srila Prabhupada had the perfect process. And when the American youth came forward, Srila Prabhupada's vision started to take its shape. So how many of you are involved with ISKCON for more than 1 year? Most of you. Very good. How many of you read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is? Very good. I'm asking because this topic is quite deep, what I'm going to discuss today. It's a very deep and profound topic. That's why I just wanted to have the feel of your receptivity. And see, how many of you are aware of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world in every town and village? Practically all of you. Thank you very much. And how many of you feel that it is happening? How many of you are convinced that Srila Prabhupada is the personality who has been sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accomplish this mission? Very good. Thank you. So now I can freely discuss with you. Because you have the understanding quite clear. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement took place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came about 500 years ago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed on this planet for about 48 years. And within this short span of time, Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, started to spread Krishna consciousness in different parts. But initially, he established Krishna consciousness movement in India, in Bihar, Navadvip, and then he took sannyas, and then he started to travel and preach. He traveled and preached only for 6 years. And within this 6 years time, he inundated, he flooded the whole of India with Krishna consciousness. Okay, very good. I just got an information which was even more reassuring. All the devotees here are chanting 16 rounds at least for 6 months. Wonderful. So that shows that you all are solid devotees. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread this movement very effectively within a short span of time, after about 6-7 years. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu withdrew himself. And the rest of the time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went into the internal appreciation and relishing of Krishna's pastime. But the Sankirtan movement had already been established and it was continuing under the direction of Nityananda Prabhu and the Goswamis. Goswamis of Vrindavan did not preach so much, but they are preparing the foundation for the future preaching through writing books. But Nityananda Prabhu and his associates were preaching very effectively. And then three stalwart acharyas came, and they are Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda. Three of them were very intimate friends and they were preaching very effectively in Eastern India, Bengal, Orissa and Bihar and Assam. Money. So, and then gradually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement actually disappeared. Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost. Soon after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, just as after Krishna's disappearance, Dwarka disappeared, similarly, soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, his dham, Navadvip, and his teachings disappeared from his planet. Practically. Only in some remote corners of Vrindavan and Navadvip, some Bhajanan and Vaishnavas were continuing Mahaprabhu's pure line. But otherwise, Mahaprabhu's teachings in general got totally eclipsed and practically destroyed by the unscrupulous presentation of some unscrupulous individuals. They are called Apasampradaya. So due to the influence of this Apasampradaya, meaning these people, in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was presenting their concocted ideas which had nothing to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. In this way, Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost. Then came Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and he started the revival of Mahaprabhu's teachings. You can well imagine the condition of Krishna consciousness or Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching, Mahaprabhu's teaching at that time. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was looking for a Chaitanya Charitamrita. He heard that Mahaprabhu's teachings, Mahaprabhu's life and teachings have been very, very wonderfully presented in his book by Srila Krishna Das Goswami. But he couldn't find a single volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita in the entire Bengal. He was a very influential person. He was the deputy magistrate of the British government. So he had access to many libraries, many other areas where this book could have been possibly found, but he could not find a single volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Eventually he found a copy in Orissa. And he took that copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita and he started to print it with his Amrita Prabhava Bhashya, his commentary, which is now which he identified as a flow of nectar. A commentary that is actually a flow of nectar. Amrita Prabhava. And this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually started to revive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. But he himself could not do much about preaching or propagation of this movement. So he prayed to Lord Jagannath. He used to be also the custodian of Jagannath Temple at that time, because the Jagannath Temple was taken care of by the British government, by the government. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as the deputy magistrate of that place, was person in charge of Jagannath Temple. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed to Lord Jagannath for a qualified assistant who could help him in his mission to spread Krishna consciousness. And as a result of his prayer, Lord Jagannath sent Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his son. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took up his mission, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission, and he started to spread Krishna consciousness at that time, as a young man. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the personality who started to establish a Krishna consciousness movement in a systematic way. And he formed an institution called Gaudiya Mission. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw the need for the continuity of the propagation of Krishna consciousness. He saw the need of an institution, and he gave that institution in the form of Namahat, a structure through which this movement would spread. And based on that blueprint that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established an institution called Gaudiya Mission. And it was spreading, he was spreading this movement very effectively during that time. He attracted the cream of Indian educated Indian society at that time. Many, many very, very important people were attracted by his preaching and teachings. And he spread so effectively this movement all over India that he established 64 mosques, 64 temples, so to say, throughout India. At that time, when communication was not that easy. So you can well imagine how powerful that movement must have been at that time. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, seeing the need to continue the mission, he asked his disciples to collectively continue this purpose, this mission, jointly through managing the institution through a governing body. Governing body means a body that is governed, not one individual. And surprisingly, before leaving this planet, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not mention anything about how the initiation would go on in his mission. Rather, he said that manage the society collectively through the governing body, GBC. But unfortunately, after his disappearance, his disciples couldn't actually understand. His leading disciples can understand the importance of that instruction. And one group thought that, actually both the groups, the two, they divided into two factions. And they started to think that how can a spiritual organization run by a group of managers. They felt that the spiritual institution hit the spiritual head. And they appointed an acharya, and in the other group, the person who was leading, the managing, he became the acharya. And as a result of that, eventually, one of the acharyas fell down and the structure collapsed. And they already started to fight over properties. And although they continued with their spiritual activities, they had their own little mats, they had their own little centers, they had their own little preaching going on, they had their group of disciples and so forth. But the worldwide preaching mission stopped. And eventually, by the way, all this while Srila Prabhupada kept himself aloof from everything. He was carrying on with his own mission. That was what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave him during the first meeting. Spread this movement, spread this teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English language. Srila Prabhupada just was preparing himself for that. He tried to help his other godbrothers, but eventually he got quite disgusted seeing the way things were happening, so he completely withdrew himself. And then, as you know, Srila Prabhupada went to America, fulfilling the prediction, or in order to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. He wanted him to go to the West and spread this movement through English language. At the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada just somehow manages to come to America without any support, without any patronage. He didn't even know where he was going to stay when he went to America. He didn't have any money. Can you imagine how desperate Srila Prabhupada was? Going all the way to America without even knowing where he was going to stay. He had only one address. Fortunately, that person responded favorably. If that person did not respond to Srila Prabhupada's letter, which he wrote just before leaving, so there was no way that he could even write back to Srila Prabhupada, yes or no. And in this uncertainty, Srila Prabhupada just went. And fortunately, that person made some arrangement for Srila Prabhupada to be received in New York and made arrangements for him to take a bus to come to Butler, Pennsylvania, where he was living. His name was Gopal Agarwal. And this person also, you can well imagine, he was married to an American lady. So obviously, he was not really a very spiritually motivated individual. Like when you are married to a Western woman, you take to their way of life. Right? So he was already half American. And so that personality was the only contact that Srila Prabhupada had, and Srila Prabhupada just went there. Fortunately, as I said, he responded favorably. So at least Prabhupada had some place to stay after he arrived in America. But Prabhupada didn't stay there for very long because he didn't go to America just to stay in a small little town called Butler. Prabhupada went to preach. And so Prabhupada decided to come to New York. And he developed an acquaintance with somebody where Prabhupada could come, and Prabhupada just went to New York. The person who Prabhupada was staying with was a Mayavadi, impersonalist. And if you say for a devotee, it is better to stay in a cage with a snake than with a Mayavadi. So how difficult it must have been for Srila Prabhupada to stay with this person. He was a doctor, but who became a yoga teacher. Probably because he saw that by teaching yoga he would earn more money than as a doctor. And then Srila Prabhupada got acquainted with some young boys and girls, and these young boys, some one of these young boys made some arrangements for Srila Prabhupada to stay with him. And that boy actually was a drug addict. But due to Prabhupada's influence, he changed. He started to practice Krishna consciousness. But then again he went back to drugs. And when he was influenced by this drug, one day he attacked Srila Prabhupada. Again, Srila Prabhupada just came to the street, no place to stay, no place. He didn't know where to go. The only place he had been now driven out of that place. I mean, we can imagine, or actually we cannot imagine what Srila Prabhupada went through. At the age of 70, can we imagine? At the age of 70, a Vaishnava of his caliber going through all these difficulties in a city which is completely foreign to him, completely alien to him. But Prabhupada didn't give up. And then things started to happen. One boy, Michael Grant, got a place for him. That is the 26th Second Avenue. And there Srila Prabhupada started to preach. Already the name of the shop, it was a storefront, small little shop, with a sign, a matchless gift. Srila Prabhupada kept that sign. Yes, he came to the West to give a matchless gift. And this is how the movement started. Now, when Srila Prabhupada saw some possibility to preach, even then Srila Prabhupada invited his goddaughters, please come and let us work together to fulfill the mission of our Guru Maharaj. When he didn't get any favorable response from them, then Srila Prabhupada decided to go on his own. Srila Prabhupada decided to form an institution. We can see that Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, all three of them saw the need of an institution to successfully establish Krishna consciousness in this world in every town and village. Why? Because Prabhupada knew that it don't happen during his life. Like in every town and village is not going to happen. Like so all the Prabhupada knew that he had only short span of time. Like he was already 70 years old. How many years he could continue? For how many years he could continue? Therefore Prabhupada saw the need of an institution that would continue the mission. And he formed that is one of the first things he did when he had only about less than 10 followers. Prabhupada decided to form an institution. He called a lawyer and he got some of his young followers in America to become the trustees of that institution. A director of the institution. And see, he's establishing an institution in a small little storefront which is about 10 feet by 20 feet room in the Lower East Side of New York City. And he names it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. To begin with, international, small little storefront, but international society. Anyway, the lawyer and even the his followers could accept that part, but they had problem accepting that Krishna consciousness. And they suggested that instead of calling it Krishna consciousness, rather call it God consciousness, because people don't understand what Krishna consciousness would mean. But Prabhupada was adamant. Prabhupada said, no, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because I have come here to make them understand, make everybody understand that Krishna is God. So this is how we can see what an amazing vision and foresight Srila Prabhupada had. And Prabhupada started his little his massive mission in a little shop in New York City. And then from New York to San Francisco, then to Boston, Montreal, just started to spread. And then a group of devotees and three couples, three of the household disciples and their wives went to London, and they started to preach. And George Harrison became affected. He was actually one of the most important celebrities of that time. The Beatles were a big name those days. And apparently all this happened before you were even born. But we know what the Beatles meant those days. Beatles were the most important thing happening at that time. And George Harrison was one of them. And George Harrison became impressed with Srila Prabhupada's teaching. And he started to help. And he, in this way, this movement started to spread all over the world. Now the point I was trying to make here is the importance of an institution. When there is something that needs a lot of time to happen, when something cannot be achieved in one lifetime, then the succession becomes the most important consideration. How it will continue, the succession. Generally the succession takes place, or used to take place, one person after another. Another person. So this is how the succession generally takes place. For example, in the spiritual scene in India, one guru used to have his ashram. And then the guru would hand over the ashram to his successor. He would appoint a successor. And other disciples who wanted to continue, they would go and open their own ashram. Now, a small ashram can maintain this process. But when it is a configuration of a huge worldwide happening, this separation from one person to another person is not going to be effective. And that is why we see that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to put a whole lot of importance on the institution and how the institution would continue. And he didn't even say a word about who would become his successor. He did not appoint any successor. Because he knew that one person will not be able to carry that huge responsibility. Therefore, there is a need of a collective endeavor through an institution. And another important consideration in an institution is that if out of those individuals who are managing the institution, if some fail, others can be, they can be replaced by others. But if it is one person, and if he fails, then what will happen? The whole structure will collapse. And we saw what happened in Gaudiya Math, Gaudiya Mission. That one person they appointed, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't appoint him. Failing to understand his vision, his followers, leading followers, appointed him. And when he failed, structure collapsed. Therefore, we can see that there was a living example in front of us. What happens when we go that way? Through the mistakes we learned, and Prabhupada emphatically told us, don't make the same mistake that my godfathers made after my Guru Maharaj's disappearance. He wanted the institution to continue by collective body, governing body, but they did not follow that instruction. They appointed Acharya. And today we can see that about 37 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is still going strong. Why? Because of this concept of collective management. It is not that in ISKCON we didn't have difficulties. In ISKCON many gurus fell down. ISKCON has suffered terrible damages due to that. But in spite of that, ISKCON is still going on. Why? Because of this concept of collective management. One, two, three individuals may defect. One, two, three, four people may fall. But this collective man, concept of management will not be effective. So that is why it has become very clear to all of us that an institution is absolutely essential for effective propagation of Krishna consciousness all over the world, to the effect of every town and village. An institution is absolutely essential. And that's why Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on ISKCON as an institution. And even a few days before Prabhupada left the movement, left this planet, some very important people came to see Srila Prabhupada, two of them. One was the ex-governor of Madras, and the other one was the chairman of Bajaj Industries, Ramakrishna Bajaj and Sriman Narayan. They are actually brothers-in-law. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, few days before Prabhupada left this land. They were very close to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada also had a lot of affection for them. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, who would be your successor? Prabhupada clearly told them that I am not going to appoint any successor. I give the legacy to all my followers. Whoever follows will have the legacy. Whoever follows will have the legacy. So the main consideration is effectively and faithfully following Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada made it very clear to us about the importance of an institution. Now when we think of an institution and a structure, then two things are very, very important. One thing we have seen from Srila Prabhupada's instruction, the collective management who would hold the institution together and carry it forward. And the other thing is the head of the institution. For a structure, these two things are of absolute importance. And there also Srila Prabhupada made it very clear that he is going to be, he is the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. He is not only the founder of ISKCON, he is also the Acharya of ISKCON. Which means, as long as ISKCON will be there, Srila Prabhupada will be the Acharya of this institution. Now let us consider, Acharya literally means guru. The guru of everyone. And that is the point that we are trying to establish through this discussion. Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all the devotees of this country, all time. Now, gurus are of two types. There are two kinds of gurus. Actually, there are three kinds of gurus. One is Bhatma Pradarshak Guru, the one who shows us the way, one who brings us to Krishna consciousness. He's a guru. He's a Bhatma, called Bhatma Pradarshak Guru. Means one who shows the path. Bhatma means path. One who shows the path of Krishna consciousness. He's a guru. The others are Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. One who gives initiation, gives the mantra, and the other gives the Krishna conscious understanding. And then it has been mentioned that Bhatma Pradarshak Guru also is a kind of Shiksha Guru, is a Shiksha Guru. So in that way there are only two gurus, Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. Now Diksha Guru has to be present in order to give the mantra. He has to be present on the planet. But the Shiksha Guru doesn't have to be present. We can access somebody just by accepting his Shiksha, his teaching, we can accept him as our guru. He remains as our guru. And incidentally, our line is actually a Shiksha line. It is not a line that is drawn according to Shiksha. For example, who comes after Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj Bhakti Vinod Thakur Shiksha disciple? No. And who is identified as the Guru of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur? Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Was Bhakti Vinod Thakur a Diksha disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj? No. Then Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj has been identified as the disciple of Baladev Vidyabhushan. He was not initiated disciple of Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan has been identified as a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti. He was not a Diksha disciple. Then what kind of disciple succession ours is? Often in Vrindavan, when you encounter with these Babajis or these Vrindavan Goswamis, they challenge us that your parampara is not bona fide. The thing is that they don't understand the importance of Shiksha over Diksha. So the real thing is actually Shiksha, not the Diksha. Some time ago I had an encounter with someone like that in Vrindavan. He was blasting, saying that our line is not bona fide. It is a bogus parampara and so forth. Then I just asked him, do you accept that Mahaprabhu said that In every town and village all over the world, Krishna consciousness movement is spreading. He couldn't deny that. Yes, sir. And then I told him that the person who fulfills that prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is he in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or not? He couldn't say anything. So this is the proof that this is Mahaprabhu's line. And our line is not according to Diksha, our line is according to Diksha. Now let us consider in ISKCON, on whose teachings ISKCON is founded. Very clearly, Srila Prabhupada spoke Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha. When we give Bhagavatam class, on whose books we give the class, on whose purport we read and give the class. Same thing with Bhagavad Gita, on whose authority we speak. All based on Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's teaching. So that is why it is very important that we recognize that Srila Prabhupada is actually the spiritual master of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. And those who are giving Diksha, they are actually functioning as a member of the institution, as a representative of the institution. That is our role. We didn't inherit ISKCON. We are simply the servants of ISKCON. We are simply the agents of ISKCON. And on behalf of ISKCON, we have assumed the role of the spiritual master. And when devotees come, what is our responsibility? Give them Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha. And through that, connect them to Srila Prabhupada. Situate them properly in ISKCON. And this is how their spiritual life is being protected, and this is how the spiritual life is being enhanced. So that is why it's very important for all of us to recognize the proper special position in ISKCON as the preeminent, the most important Shiksha Guru of all of us, for all time. Not only Prabhupada will be the Guru of his disciples who are initiated by him, no. Srila Prabhupada will continue to be the guru of the devotees, of all of devotees, all the devotees will join ISKCON and become engaged in serving his mission. Srila Prabhupada will always be, not only today, not only next generation, but so forth, generation after generation, as long as ISKCON will be there, Srila Prabhupada will be the Shiksha Guru of all the devotees for a long time. And it may go on for thousands of years. And I can tell you one thing, with the passing of time, Srila Prabhupada's position will become more and more clear. In this respect, I give an example, that when you're standing close, very close to a big mountain, we can't really see the height of the mountain. We can't measure, we can figure out the height of the mountain. Because some small little hill can obscure your mountain. Obscure your vision, the view of the mountain. But then what happens? As you move away, then small hills eventually disappear. And the big mountain stands there with all its grandeur. And similarly, we are noticing that some insignificant individuals are coming and obscuring our view of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes you think, oh, he is greater than Srila Prabhupada. But as you move on time, Prabhupada's position will become more and more enhanced. In a way, we are too close to Srila Prabhupada to actually recognize and understand and appreciate Srila Prabhupada's greatness. But those who have the proper vision and proper understanding, they'll see it. And I'll tell you, wait for another 100 years or so and you'll see how the world will recognize Srila Prabhupada. It's unfortunate that we are too close to Srila Prabhupada to properly recognize his greatness. So So let us at least try to recognize Srila Prabhupada's greatness through his achievements. Let us go and compare, let us see who can ever do what Prabhupada had done. Who could ever go and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world just in 10 years' time, at the age of 70. Once one devotee was telling me, he met somebody in Delhi, an elderly gentleman. And that gentleman told him, this devotee was talking to him about Srila Prabhupada. And then this gentleman, he said, actually you don't know what Srila Prabhupada has done. He was a little offended. I do not know. But of course he didn't say anything, but eventually the gentleman told him, you don't know what it means to be 70 years old. You are a young man. You do not know what it means to be 70 years old. And at that age, Srila Prabhupada went to America and started to spread Krishna consciousness. I mean, it is the greatest miracle that has ever happened in this world. In 10 years' time, what he achieved, no one ever had achieved anything like that. Which spiritual institution spread this effectively within such a short span of time, attracting the most intelligent class of people of this world? And look at their commitments. They're sacrificing everything for the sake of serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet under Sri Prabhupada's care and guidance. Look at what Sri Prabhupada had done. So many volumes of books. While he was traveling around the world, establishing Krishna consciousness, at the same time he is writing his books. How could he do that? Leave aside, even if you don't consider the books, look at the number of letters that Srila Prabhupada has written. Look at the number of individuals that Prabhupada affected in such a wonderful way. Show me one person who has achieved at least even one tenth of what Srila Prabhupada has achieved. At least I don't see anyone. So if we keep our eyes open and try to see Srila Prabhupada in its proper glory, then we will see what Srila Prabhupada is, and we will feel completely overwhelmed, will we feel extremely proud. We could consider ourselves to be extremely fortunate that somehow or other we came at the shelter of this wonderful personality. Somehow or other we have been able to develop a relationship with this personality. That is true. Thank you all very much. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? I actually wanted to stop at 8:30, but anyway. Is it all? Anyway, let's see the question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, can you please explain about Ritvik and Ritvik? What is that sign? Maybe Ritvik philosophy? What's that? Yes, question is yours. Ritvik what? Yes?
Question mark.
Oh, okay. This Prabhupada mentioned this is his teaching. Please explain. Prabhupada did mention about Ritvik. Prabhupada did not actually mention Ritvik. Prabhupada mentioned that he would name somebody to initiate on his behalf. There's the officiating on his behalf. And at that time, Ramakrishna Maharaj mentioned, so Prabhupada, you mean Ritvik? And Prabhupada said, yes. So that is how Prabhupada mentioned about retreat. Well, I mean, if you speak about retreat philosophy, what's going on?
So the problem with retreat is that they are saying that Prabhupada will continue to give initiation.
You see, that's the difference. They are saying that Prabhupada will continue to be the Diksha Guru of everyone in ISKCON for all time. Whereas ISKCON standards, Prabhupada is the preeminent Diksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. That's the difference. And we can't accept this concept that Prabhupada will continue to give initiation because there is no precedence from the past. There is no mention of that in the scripture. And Prabhupada himself didn't say anything about that. They're trying to screw out some meaning from some statements from Srila Prabhupada, saying that no, Prabhupada wanted that everybody, he would continue to give initiation. But Prabhupada never mentioned that. Initiation, diksha, requires a guru who is present. Say for example, can I now say that I have taken diksha from Rupa Goswami? Why not? Because the Diksha Guru need, for Diksha there is a need to be the personality to be present. Diksha kale shishya kare atma samarpan, shei kale Krishna kare kare atma samarpan. It is to the personality that who is representing Krishna one surrenders himself. And at that time Krishna accepts it. Another configuration of diksha. Diksha means giving the mantra. Right? So it means the mantras are kept as a secret. So the mantra is secret and the mantra would be given to a qualified disciple by a guru who has the mantra himself. Right? Guru would whisper the mantra silently in his ears. Right? So, when it comes to giving diksha, therefore there is a need for a personality being present there to give the mantra. Whereas, Srila Prabhupada is the undoubted Shiksha Guru. Who can challenge that? Who can deny that? Prabhupada is the Shiksha Guru for all the mantras for all time.
Not
necessarily. Like for example, here for resolving the conflict, when it says how we function in the GBC, we discuss, it's taken to a vote, and you know, if it passes through the vote majority, then we accept it. The point, the principle is that when a resolution is passed, then everybody will have to accept it. And of course, we also have a chairman. And not only a chairman, we have an executive committee. Every year, we select there are three members, chairman and two vice chairmen. First vice chairman, second vice chairman. We don't have to appoint the chairman. We appoint the first vice chairman. And then the vice chairman comes on the board and the chairman retires. So this way one stays in the governing at that executive committee for 3 years. Right? First year is vice chairman, next year second vice chairman, and then he becomes chairman. So this body is there. But they generally chair the meeting. It is not that the chairman becomes the absolute head of the governing body. Yes. Institution is necessary to hold the body together, hold the collective body of devotees together. But when it comes for spiritual advancement, then it's mainly an individual endeavor. You see, what the institution is doing, it is enhancing the propagation and protecting the body, collective body, right? And creating a favorable attitude towards each other. So it's like it's creating a family, right, through the institution. But when it comes to spiritual advancement, consideration of spiritual advancement, then it is an individual, you know, endeavor. Institutions protecting our spiritual life, but progress of our spiritual life is an individual contribution. Right? Institution may help, but you know it is mine. It is one's own effort that will be the main consideration for spiritual advancement. Does it answer your question? Again, it's a personal consideration. How I will become engaged in my spiritual life, how I will create the facility, how will find the time or, you know, engage myself. It's my consideration, right? Like, you know, whether I'll quit the job and become a full-time devotee, institution can do that. Institution may facilitate you, but ultimately you have to decide, right? Or whether you come to the Mangalarati or not, if you have to decide. Ravi Shankar, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, a spiritual journey ultimately is an individual journey. You know, like, see, my acceptance or rejection is entirely up to me. But there's a need of education. Like, say for example, you know, just even a simple example would be, many of you probably didn't even consider these points that we discussed today. But now that I spoke about it, probably it will make many of you think. And you think, and then you consider whether it makes sense, whether it's beneficial for the effective propagation of Krishna consciousness or not. Then if you feel that it is, then accept it. Don't accept it blindly. Prabhupada never wanted us to accept it blindly. Prabhupada wanted us to use our intelligence. Decide, and Prabhupada used to even say that if you have a question, ask. Sometimes Prabhupada used to poke us to challenge him. Like you take the stand of an impersonalist. You take a stand of a scientist and come up with, you know, some contradictory concepts. And he would want us to deal with him. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes?
There are many disciples of Prabhupada who are having some emphasis out of the vast teachings of Prabhupada, which he offers. And in future also many spiritual masters will come in our movement. So, it is observed, maybe my way of observing, but many places we observe that the disciples of a particular spiritual master, they tend to follow the mode of the spiritual master. That is the emphasis which he is making out of a number of Prabhupada's teachings. So in future many will come, many spiritual masters will come. And how we make sure or how it will happen that all the teachings of Prabhupada which he emphasized in his life will continue, or just some emphasis given by some spiritual masters will prevail in the moment.
That is why the need to recognize Srila Prabhupada's position is gone. Everybody should actually transmit Srila Prabhupada's motto. Now, of course, there may be different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's motto. And as long as it is in sync with Srila Prabhupada's motto, it's all right. We have to see whether this is what Srila Prabhupada wants. Like say, some gurus will emphasize book distribution, some gurus will emphasize college preaching, some gurus may emphasize the congregational preaching, some gurus may emphasize corporate preaching. different gurus may have, different emphasis according to their own taste and choice. But ultimately, what's happening? It is all in sync, in line with Srila Prabhupada's. Srila Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted us to preach to the children. Prabhupada wanted us to preach to the books. Prabhupada wanted us to preach to the students. Prabhupada wanted us to preach to the congregation, and so forth. So that is how, everything, like different gurus may magnify different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's, mode. Our plan. But ultimately we have to see that it's all in line with the Prabhupada's design. And we have to also see that we are functioning in one family. We should compete. No, book distribution is no good. College teaching is the real thing. No, that kind of thing should not. Or congregation preaching is the real thing. Brahmacharis are not needed. No, that should not be the mood. Like, we should not conflict among ourselves. We should do everything in a harmonious way, and that's why there is a need of the family feeling. And to develop that family feeling, we have to recognize our connection issues. So I'll make this the last question.
Thank you, Guru. As you mentioned, that the time of initiation, Guru must be prepared. But the practitioner who has done the initiation, sannyas diksha, he did sannyas diksha in front of the picture of his gurukul, his future master.
That was an emergency situation. And he was not here. You see, sannyas is not really diksha. Sannyas is taking a vow. Right? And so he, in his heart, his guru was present. You have to consider that he is a very advanced devotee. He was all, you know, he was already initiated. He already had the relationship with his guru. Although his guru, Maharaj, left his body, left his planet, but he was very much present in his heart. So he could take initiation from, you know, the picture of his guru. He didn't actually, even the picture, I would say, is a formality, was a formality. His guru was actually in his heart. And another consideration was, at that time there was no one qualified to give him sannyas. So that's why I said it was an emergency situation. If he had a sannyasi godbrother, then probably he would have taken it from his sannyasi godbrother, just as Prabhupada did. But there was no one. So that's why he had to take sannyas from his guru's picture. Thank you all very much. Maybe we can end with a little kirtan.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.